Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 20th, 2026. As always, we begin the section with today's top stories. The first headline reads, 2025 Farm Leaders of the Year, Curtis Orchard Couple Sharing Honors. For the first time since 2000, the News Gazette is honoring a pair of Champaign County farmers as its Farm Leaders of the New Year. Randy Graham, G-R-A-H-A-A-M, Graham, and Debbie Curtis Graham of Curtis Orchard and Pumpkin Patch have been named as this year's winners. The selection panel of prior farm leader winners said they elected to give the award jointly because of the importance each plays in the farm operation. The panel also selected Cole Pruitt as the 2025 Emerging Farm Leader of the Year. The soon-to-be Parkland graduate made history with his St. Joseph Ogden FFA Future Farmers of America chapter in 2024, earning the school's first state championship in 40 years in agricultural mechanics repair and maintenance. And there's photographs of the couple, Randy and Debbie Curtis, together in a photo, smiling, and a photo of Cole Pruitt as well. And that's written by Rob Lacates for the News Gazette. Congratulations to all of them. The next headline reads, MIA No Longer, A Salute to Those Who Served by Mike Carroll. The remains of Staff Sergeant Paul Gregg of Douglas County, believed to have been killed after his capture by the Germans during World War II, were recently identified through the tireless efforts of the DPAA. Here's the story. And Mike typically writes for the Town Hall section, the editorial pages. Staff Sergeant Paul A., or also known as Dusty, quote-unquote, Gregg, G-R-E-G-G, of Douglas County, had been classified as missing in action, MIA, since 1944, after hostile action during World War II. He is MIA no longer. On Thursday, the Defense POW M/MIA accounting agency revealed it had declared Gregg accounted for last year, known only as X-114. Before identification, Gregg had rested in an American cemetery site in Belgium until his recent disinterment. A funeral in Arcola is pending. Gregg lived throughout the Douglas County area, born in Arcola in 1915, lived in Garrett, played high school football. He was the captain and star of the team in the early mid-30s for Atwood, and worked for various cafes and restaurants in the Arthur area before being drafted into the U.S. Army in 1941. In September of 1943, Gregg was deployed overseas for combat. In 1944, as part of the 28th Infantry Division, he found himself in fierce fighting near Fouren, F-O-U-H-R-E-N, in Luxembourg, during the Battle of the Bulge. According to a letter sent from Captain M. O'Day and Miss Ada Fern Dixon, or to Miss Ada Fern Dixon of Arthur, in September 1945, Staff Sergeant Gregg was, quote-unquote, captured in the Ardennes breakthrough while in charge of his section. When marched to the rear, an artillery barrage laid down in error by the Germans themselves fell right in the middle of the column of marching prisoners. According to the report of a soldier captured at the same time but later freed, Sergeant Gregg was killed by this barrage. End of quote. Not all bodies recovered from the tragedy were identifiable. Accordingly, this one particular body found now identifies now identified as Greg, was simply labeled X-114. Greg was soon added to the U.S.'s total World War II death toll of around 400,000 soldiers, of which approximately 79,000 were classified as MIA. Today, that MIA figure is down to approximately 73,000, thanks to the dedicated nonstop work of the Defense POA, or POW, MIA Accounting Agency, and various military museums and historical agencies that continue to this day the complicated mission of locating, identifying, and reuniting soldiers with grieving family members. According to its press release, the DPAA is a Department of Defense agency whose mission is to recover and identify service members listed as prisoners of war or missing in action from past conflicts. Officials said that in 2021, a DPAA historian completed a study of unresolved combat losses in Foren from the Battle of the Bulge, and recommended X-114 remains be disinterred for scientific comparison to Greg. Following exhumation of the remains in 2024, they were confirmed to be Greg's through dental, anthropological, and DNA analysis. X-114 was confirmed to be Greg. The Army itself also did everything it could to help families of MIA soldiers during my term of service during the Vietnam War in the early 1970s. Part of my duties as a commander of an armed forces facility included personally meeting monthly at the homes of parents and or spouses in my area of central Massachusetts. We discussed the status of their missing loved one and the actions being taken to identify and reunite the parties. As you might imagine, there were sadly seldom new facts. Over 50 years later, I still remember those visits. The people were always gracious, understanding, and had largely accepted the fact of death. And yet, I always detected this glimmer of hope in them. Perhaps some injury that led to amnesia, perhaps captured and not reported by the enemy. Perhaps. This is the pain of a loved one upon hearing MIA. A reported death is usually quite traumatic to hear, but unlike an MIA notification, grieving often occurs instantly and can usually lead to eventual closure. But there was this sense I had while visiting MIA families that grieving and closure could not occur until the person is found and returned to his family. To rest peacefully, reunited with loved ones in a familiar setting being the home from which they were displaced or on short notice, displaced into strange and dangerous places charged with harsh tasks. May the Gregg family finally have closure, peace and spirit-filling pride, in the reassuring proclamation of Jesus telling his disciples that the greatest love is sacrificial. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Mike Carroll of Tuscola is a retired circuit judge and former state's attorney in Douglas County. And there's a few photos. One is of a list of names on a wall. The caption reads, Paul Gregg. Paul Gregg's name is recorded on the walls of the Missing at Luxembourg American Cemetery, along with others still missing from World War II. That photo is provided. There's also a column in a newspaper article. The top says missing in action, and then there's a photo of Paul A. Gregg, sergeant, smiling in his uniform. Missing in action no longer then. And there's a photograph of a football team in action. The caption at the top, or headline, excuse me, reads, Captain Dusty Gregg stars as Atwood defeats Bement. And that caption reads, Before serving his country, Paul Gregg starred on the gridiron, being selected as Atwood High School's team captain in the 1930s. All those photos are provided. Thank you for your service. Inside. Next up, inside. One moment. Here we go. Inside Town Hall B 1 through 6, which we might read later on today. Reverend Terence Thomas, separating fact from fiction on Dr. King. Peggy Pritchard, I repeat, thanks but no thanks on Ozempic. Bob and Mary Elaine Hughes, We Live in a Nation of in Distress. Raja Krishnamurti, How I'll Make Your Life More Affordable. Ask the Candidates, Do We Need an Elected County Exec? Plus Peter Buckley, Michael LeRoy, Peter Tamaris, Jim Dye, and more. So hopefully we'll get to those sections very soon. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. One moment. In 2006, Champaign American Legion Post introduced its monthly flag award to recognize those treating Old Glory with the respect it deserves. Some 235 plaques were delivered over the years, including three to the News Gazette as we move from Main Street to Devonshire Drive to Fox Drive. Midway through 2025, however, organizer Chuck Zielinski hit pause because we just ran out of places to present the award to, he said. As the 20-year anniversary of the project nears, Zielinski has good news to share. Six new locations have been identified. The reboot starts with January's recipient, Nantucket Cove Apartments, which flies the flag at the entrance of its office at 2001 North Moreland Boulevard in Champaign. We thank Post 24 for honoring us with this award, property manager Kenneth Cole said. We feel that displaying the American flag is the right thing to do. Have a flag display to nominate? If so, you can reach out to Zielinski. That's Z-E-L-I-N-S-K-Y, Chuck Zielinski, at 217-356-5114. That's 217-356-5114, or by email at AL24 Champaign. So American Legion 24 Champaign at gmail.com. February's winner will be announced during Ann Roten's Standard Time program on WDWS 1400 AM, 93.9 FM. Tune in at 7:15 AM on February 1st. And there's two photos that are provided. One of a gentleman holding a plaque, smiling. I believe that's Kenneth Cole. And then the exterior with the flag flying high on the flagpole of Nantucket Cove apartment buildings. Next up, history. Area history. In 1976, complaints that the women's athletic program at the University of Illinois is the most discriminatory in the state were the basis of a request for an investigation by the Urbana-Champaign Senate's Committee on Athletics and Recreation. Stu Summers, student member of the University Board of Trustees, referred to discrimination complaints made in a report approved by a subcommittee of the Illinois House of Representatives and asking for the investigation. In 2011, the University of Illinois plans to use $10 million from Decatur-based Archer Daniels Midland Company to fight world hunger through the new ADM Institute for the Prevention of Post-Harvest Loss. Interim U of I Vice Chancellor Steve Sonka, who previously led the U of I's worldwide soybean research, will be the Institute's director. Sonka said the Institute will work with small farms in the developing world to help preserve millions of tons of grains and seeds that are lost each year because of mishandling or spoilage. That was in 2011. International history, today's highlight. On January 20, 1981, Iran released 52 Americans it had held hostage for 444 days, minutes after Ronald Reagan was sworn in as President of the United States, seceding Jimmy Carter. On this date in 1841, the island of Hong Kong was ceded by China to Great Britain. It returned to Chinese control in July of 1997. And in 1936, Britain's King George V died after his physician injected the mortally ill monarch with morphine and cocaine to hasten his death. The king was seceded by his eldest son, Edward VIII, who later abdicated the throne 11 months later to marry American divorcee Wallace Simpson. The next headline reads, the venue CU. Proposed rider would enable alcohol sales between rentals. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. When the venue CU was starting out, there were some people who thought it was a little crazy to open an event center downtown rather than a bar, said co-owner and manager Dan Church. However, since then, the business at 51 East Main Street has hosted hundreds of weddings, as well as various corporate and university events. It's made our private events model just very successful. But we do think there's more use for the space that can serve the community in a really special way, Church said. The venue CU has asked the city to consider changing local regulations to allow sales of alcohol at the facility between events with a special rider. The business would like the flexibility to potentially offer a pop-up bar or unique bar setting that is a little more elevated when it's not hosting events, Church said. We have a bunch of great bars downtown, he added. We're not looking to be necessarily competition for their model and how they do bars, but it would be awesome over the holidays to do kind of like you see in a bigger city, a super Christmas-themed bar for a short period of time in between our private events. The proposed amendment to the liquor ordinance, which is up for a vote at tonight's city council meeting, would create a new Class A rider for the Class SO special occasion facility license. An event venue that obtains the rider would be able to operate as Class A licensee and sell alcohol by the drink or package for consumption within a designated area on the premises when it's not hosting private or pre-scheduled events. When the facility is hosting events, the Class SO license will apply and the facility will be closed to anyone not attending the event. There is also a requirement that the licensee cease serving or allowing the consumption of alcohol on the premises for a minimum of 1 hour between a private event and opening to the public, Assistant City Attorney Alia Horwick wrote in a report to council. This would also apply when the facility switches from being open to the public to hosting an event. A business with the rider would also be able to apply for a Class OC outdoor cafe rider and participate in downtown festival districts, with both of these licenses only being valid when the business is acting under Class A regulations. Church expressed appreciation for how Mayor Deb Finan, Deputy Liquor Commissioner and Administrative Services Manager Jeff Hamilton, and other city staff have worked with the venue CU and been open to conversation on how we might use our space. He feels that the new approach, if approved, would benefit other event venues as well. He did not have an estimate for how soon the venue CU could get a rider and implement changes if the ordinance is amended, and said that he and the rest of the team didn't want to get ahead of ourselves. The city is also considering updating the liquor ordinance's age restriction exemptions to include indoor sporting facilities used for competitive athletic activities where the sale of alcohol is incidental to the primary purpose of the business. There are currently exceptions to minimum age requirements at bowling alleys and Class A licensees that function as restaurants or if an individual under the minimum age is accompanied by a parent. A potential business owner has contacted the city to discuss the possibility of opening a recreational indoor pickleball court that would also serve alcohol, Horwick said. Under the current code, such a facility would not be allowed to also have minors on the premises. Upon reviewing the code, staff found the specific carve-out for bowling alleys to be a limiting factor and recommended expanding the exception to include a wider variety of indoor sporting facilities. And there's a picture of three people kind of sitting at a desk table. Looks like they're talking things out, but they're smiling at the camera. From left, three of four co-owners of the venue CU, Dan Church, Miranda Church, and Greg Bugby, on November 14th, 2025. The business is hoping to expand by operating as a bar between events. That photo is taken by Rob Lacates of the News Gazette. Next up, Champaign County Crime Stoppers. Police seeking woman who stole $600 in goods from Champaign Walmart. This article is collectively written by the News Gazette and is based out of Champaign. Champaign County Crime Stoppers is asking for the public's help identifying a suspect in a retail theft. At 11 p.m., December 21st, an unknown woman entered Walmart on North Prospect Avenue in Champaign. She selected numerous steaks and other meat products, clothing, and household items before quickly exiting the store without paying for a cart full of merchandise. The suspect ran to a vehicle in the parking lot. Two men jumped out and helped her put the items from the cart into the vehicle before fleeing. The stolen merchandise was valued at over $600. Police are seeking the public's assistance in identifying the female suspect, who was captured on video. She was described as being a white woman with a medium build and a linear birthmark or scar down her face. She was last seen wearing a brown hat, brown Carhartt coat, black leggings, and brown boots. The suspects fled in a dark gray or black Jeep. If you have any information, contact Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477. That's 217-373-8477. Tipsters are 100% anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers and receive a code number to check on rewards. And there's a photograph provided of the woman in question. The next headline reads, a crowning moment. 2026 Miss Illinois County Fair Queen. UVI student goes from Miss Effingham County to state title. This article is written by Rob LeCates. He can be reached by email at RLECATES@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Springfield. Krista, K-R-I-S-T-A, Phillips, P-H-I-L-L-I-P, Krista Phillips' kingdom just got even bigger. She originally ruled over her 12 pet chickens and the entirety of Effingham County, but she now needs to adapt to a rapid expansion after taking home the state crown on Sunday evening. The newly crowned 2026 Miss Illinois County Fair Queen's experience was nothing short of amazing. It was so surreal, she said. Whenever they called my name, I was so ecstatic. I'm so blessed that I won, she said. There's so many great contestants, and it was such a joy being there. To prepare for the multi-day competition with the consistent smell of hairspray, the hundreds of people who would meet, or she would meet, and the inevitable foot pain, she had help from her two older sisters, both prior Effingham County Fair Queens and second runners-up at the state contest. Shayna, Scott, and Kaylee Phillips competed and won in 2019 and 2021, respectively. They walked so their younger sister could strut down the stage as the state queen. They always tell me to be genuine and be myself whenever you're going through your reign, and you don't have to become somebody else, she said. You just have to show everybody who you are, and that in turn will make you the best queen that you can be. Krista started at the same time Shayna ran for queen and fell in love with it. I've always loved pageants from a young age, but then after I saw their experience of winning the queen title and seeing what the queen does throughout the entire year, I knew that it was a dream for me, she said. So, of course, I had to run. She wouldn't be who she is without her parents, who helped her achieve the crown. From the outside, you wouldn't expect them to be as gung-ho about pageants as they are. They never really knew much about pageants until, obviously, my sisters and I started competing in them, she said. They did everything that they could to make us more confident and more poised on the stage. She said her interview went well, and it helped that the judges were easy to talk to, allowing her to be herself when answering. She only found some trouble with the pop-up question. For me, I thought the pop-up question was the most difficult part. I knew that I did well, but was not very confident in my answer, but I ultimately had to get back on stage in my swimsuit and evening gown and do the best that I could, she said. She entered her hometown's county fair pageant, earning the first runner-up title twice before securing the crown last summer. The senior management and marketing student at the University of Illinois will graduate this spring and plans to return to Effingham to continue working at J&J Gaming. She hopes in the future to start her own business or continue Toppin's Soft Serve, her family's ice cream truck. That's Toppin's, T-O-P-P-I-N-S. Krista Phillips has now assumed her queenly duties, which include traveling across the state, representing and advocating for agriculture, but she hasn't lost sight of home and the fair that allowed her access to the crown. The Effingham County Fair holds a special place in my heart, so Fair Week in itself was a highlight. Welcoming community members to the fair, engaging with the 4-H members and animals, supporting all the local food vendors, and of course, lots of laughs with my junior Miss Leah Ring, she said. That's L-E-A-H-R-I-N-G. These memories started my reign as queen, but the experience has only gotten better and better. And there's a photograph of her standing on the stage, waving to the audience. In the background, there's a big crown sign, like on the stage. And she's wearing a red dress, she has a sash, and she's holding a bouquet of flowers. Krista Phillips, the newly crowned 2026 Miss Illinois County Fair Queen, takes her first walk after her win on Sunday. Congratulations to her. The next headline reads, MLK Celebration Committee. Shalarman, that's S-C-H-L-A-R-M-A-N, senior recipient of this year's scholarship. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey, who can be reached by email at jbaileywy@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Danville. Growing up, 17-year-old Shalarman Academy senior Miles Crosby said he was taught a lot about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and everyone can still be an advocate for King today. Crosby, C-R-O-S-B-Y, that's how you spell his last name, has been selected as the recipient of the MLK Celebration Committee's $6,000 MLK Scholarship. It's given annually to a Danville graduating high school senior who plans to pursue an education at an institution of higher learning. When Crosby learned of the honor, he said he was very surprised and happy, quote unquote. When I wrote my essay, I just wrote from the heart, he said, thinking what he's learned about MLK and how he looks up to him. My mom taught me a lot about him. His essay, titled Carrying Dr. King's Dream Forward, focuses on King's powerful I Have a Dream speech, treating everybody the same and helping fellow students with their struggles. What that means to me is much more than a historical concept. It's relevant in today's society, and it is something I try to live out every day. To be an advocate for Dr. King's dream requires fairness, respect and empathy toward others and how I would treat them every day, Crosby stated in his scholarship essay. One way I'd try to support this idea is making sure I don't let stereotypes influence how I see people. At school, I meet students from different backgrounds, races, and cultures. I've learned that when you take the time to get to know someone personally, you discover who they really are beyond appearances, he said. As an example, he said he became friends with someone last year who many people didn't talk to because they thought he wasn't approachable. After getting to know him, I found that he was hardworking, funny, and loyal. That experience taught me the importance of basing my opinions on character instead of assumptions, Crosby wrote in his essay. Jamie Neitlinger and Marcus Crosby are Miles' parents. I'm so proud of him, Neitlinger said. He never fails to amaze me. Miles Crosby plans to play basketball in college and major in sports medicine or business. Several colleges are looking at him. Crosby said he's willing to go about anywhere, but would like to stay close to home. And there's a photograph of a young African-American male, Crosby. Congratulations to him. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 20th, 2026. Thanks for listening. I'll be back shortly to read part two. Please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.